Chapter 1. At sunset hour the forest was still, lonely, sweet with tang of fir and spruce, blazing in gold and red and green, and the man who glided on under the grape trees seemed to blend with the colors and, disappearing, to have become a part of the wild woodland. Old Baldy, highest of the white mountains, stood up round and bare, rim bright gold in the last glow of the setting sun. Then, as the fire dropped behind the dome peak, a change, a cold and darkening blight, passed down the black spear-pointed slopes over all that mountain world. It was a wild, richly timbered, and abundantly watered region of dark forest and grassy parks, 10,000 feet above sea level, isolated on all sides by the southern Arizona desert, the virgin home of elk and deer, of bear and lion, of wolf and fox, and the birthplace as well as the hiding place of the fierce Apache. September in that latitude was marked by the sudden cool night breeze following shortly after sundown. Twilight appeared to come on its wings, as did faint sounds, not distinguishable before in the stillness. Milt Dale, man of the forest, halted at the edge of a timbered ridge to listen and to watch. Beneath him lay a narrow valley, open and grassy, from which rose a faint murmur of running water. Its music was pierced by the wild staccato yelp of a hunting coyote. From overhead in the giant fir came a twittering and rustling of grouse settling for the night, and from across the valley drifted the last low calls of wild turkeys going to roost. To Dale's keen ear these sounds were all they should have been, betokening an unchanged serenity of forest land. He was glad, for he had expected to hear the clip-clop of white men's horses, which to hear up in those fastnesses was hateful to him. He and the Indian were friends. That fierce foe had no enmity toward the lone hunter. But there hid somewhere in the forest a gang of bad men, sheep thieves, whom Dale did not want to meet. As he started out upon the slope, a sudden flaring of the afterglow of sunset flooded down from Old Baldy, filling the valley with lights and shadows, yellow and blue, like the radiance of the sky. The pools and the curves of the brook shone darkly bright. Dale's gaze swept up and down the valley, and then tried to pierce the black shadows across the brook where the wall of spruce stood up, its speared and spiked crest against the pale clouds. The wind began to moan in the trees, and there was a feeling of rain in the air. Dale, striking a trail, turned his back to the fading afterglow and strode down the valley. With night at hand and a rainstorm brewing, he did not head for his own camp, some miles distant, but directed his steps toward an old log cabin. When he reached it, darkness had almost set in. He approached with caution. This cabin, like the few others scattered in the valleys, might harbor Indians or a bear or a panther. Nothing, however, appeared to be there. Then Dale studied the clouds driving across the sky, and he felt the cool dampness of a fine misty rain on his face. It would rain off and on during the night. Whereupon he entered the cabin. And the next moment he heard quick hoofbeats of trotting horses. Peering out, he saw dim moving forms in the darkness, quite close at hand. They had approached against the wind so that the sound had been deadened. 5 horses with riders, Dale made out, saw them loom close. Then he heard rough voices. Quickly he turned to feel in the dark for a ladder he knew led to a loft, and finding it, he quickly mounted, taking care not to make a noise with his rifle, and lay down upon the floor of brush and poles. Scarcely had he done so when heavy steps, with accompaniment of clinking spurs, passed through the door below into the cabin.
"Wal Beasley, are you here?"
queried a loud voice. There was no reply. The man below growled under his breath, and again the spurs jingled.
"Fellers, Beasley ain't here yet," he called. "Put the hosses under the shed. We'll wait."
"Wait, huh?" came a harsh reply. "Maybe all night, and we got nothing to eat."
"Shut up, Mose. Reckon you're no good for anything but eatin'. Put them hosses away and some of you rustle firewood in here."
Low muttered curses then mingled with dull thuds of hoofs and strain of leather and heaves of tired horses. Another shuffling, clinking footstep entered the cabin.
"Snake, it'd been sense to fetch a pack along," drawled this newcomer.
"Reckon so, Jim. But we didn't. And what's the use hollering? Beasley won't keep us waiting long."
Dale, lying still and prone, felt a slow start in all his blood, a thrilling wave. That deep-voiced man below was Snake Anson, the worst and most dangerous character of the region, and the others, undoubtedly, composed his gang, long